this reference to her as woman. He can't even call her by her name. He's got to use this degrading term, woman. Like, woman, go get me a beer, kind of thing. What's up, everybody? This is Josh from Practical Theism. Hope everybody's doing well. Today, we are going to take a look at the third last saying of Jesus. And in order to do so, we're going to take a small jump from the Gospel of Luke over to the Gospel of John. Interestingly enough, today is actually addressing Mary, the mother of God, being at the foot of the cross, where he says, "Woman, behold your son, and to the disciple, behold your mother." And John is the only gospel writer who actually includes Mary in his writing, being at the foot of the cross. Just an interesting side note. This picks up right after the soldiers cast lots. This is in John 19, starting in verse 25. "But standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene." There were a lot of Marys in Jesus' day. "When Jesus then saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, 'Woman, behold your son.' And he said to the disciple, 'Behold your mother.' From that hour, the disciple took her into his own household." So just a striking passage, really, about the care of Mary. It should have been a sibling or the husband who would have taken care of Mary after Jesus' death. We don't really hear from Joseph leading up to the crucifixion, so it's likely he passed away prior to the crucifixion. But at the same time, the eldest sibling would have been the one to take care of the mother, but we see her being entrusted to John. Could be a couple different reasons behind this. The church has always had a long-standing tradition about Mary's perpetual virginity and the fact that Jesus didn't have blood siblings. And oftentimes, we see commentators throughout the years, every time you do see in Scripture where there's a reference to Jesus's brothers or the brothers of the Lord, the word that's used there is adelphoi in the Greek, which typically lends itself to mean kin or cousins. It can mean brothers, but it also can mean those other things. And that's something that you've seen all throughout church history, church fathers discussing that particular topic. That being said, it's just kind of a side footnote. His mother started with him when he was in his public ministry, when he turned water into wine, his first miracle at the wedding at Cana. And the interesting thing in parallel is his reference to her as woman at the wedding at Cana and his reference to her as woman here at the foot of the cross. And there's a lot that we can gather from Mary too. She's one that just takes in these things and ponders them, as we see starting with the Annunciation and kind of throughout the early pages of the Gospels. And she models for us really perfect discipleship. When we're in conversation with God and we're in prayer life, that's something that we take in. We don't just blast it out to the world. We take it in, we ponder it, we work with it, we try and understand it first. And that's a clear mark of someone who's pensive and thoughtful. That's really, I think, where God can really transform our thoughts and our hearts and our mind. So this title of woman, we see it's the same thing as in the wedding at Cana, which actually goes back to John 2, starting in the beginning of John 2. It says this: "On the third day, there was a wedding at Cana at Galilee. The mother of Jesus was there. Jesus also was invited to the wedding with his disciples. When the wine ran out, the mother of Jesus said to him, 'They have no wine.' And Jesus said to her, 'Woman, what does this have to do with me? My hour is not yet come.'" Many, many commentators have spilled a lot of ink talking about how Christianity is like a misogynistic, woman-degrading religion. And this is one of the things that I've seen pulled out, where this reference to her as woman, he can't even call her by her name. He's got to use this degrading term, woman, like, woman, go get me a beer, kind of thing. But I think there's a deeper meaning here. When we look at how Scripture kind of unfolds itself, the new is revealing what's in the old, and the old's concealing what's in the new. We see this typology start to unfold and manifest itself. St. Irenaeus said this in the early centuries. He said, "The knot of Eve's disobedience was untied by Mary's obedience." So we see Jesus calling Mary woman in identification with woman, which is also the name that Adam gave Eve in Genesis. He called her woman. So the knot of Eve's disobedience was untied by Mary's obedience. What the virgin Eve had bound through her disbelief, Mary loosened by her faith. So we see this clear typology that's coming out through the early church fathers. It is worth noting that St. Irenaeus, he was also a disciple of St. Polycarp, who was a disciple of St. John. John, the disciple who's being entrusted with Mary's care. So John would have been very close to these beliefs and this relationship with Mary that he would have then passed on in belief to Polycarp, which then made its way to Irenaeus. And that's how the patristic sources really start to stir up. The patristic teaching of Mary as the new Eve, it goes straight back to John himself. Mary is the true Eve, the true, quote, mother of the living, which is also the title that Eve is given in Genesis 3:20. So we see in Genesis 3:20, and Adam called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of the living. And this is a really interesting typology when you look at the old Eve and the new Eve, the old Adam and the new Adam, because this fits beautifully with how in Romans, for example, Jesus is identified as the new Adam. So in Romans 5, we see this in a couple different places, starting in verse 17. For if by the trespass of one man, death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and the gift of righteousness reign in life through one man, Jesus Christ? And also in 19, verse 19. For just as through the disobedience of the one man, the many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of the one man, many will be made righteous. And that's a really interesting correlation with just as the knot of Eve's disobedience was untied by Mary's obedience, as St. Irenaeus was saying, what the Virgin Eve bound through her disbelief, Mary loosened by her faith. So very interesting parallels and typology going on here, but Mary being identified as the new Eve. So there you have it. I hope that's helpful. Definitely drop some comments below, start a dialogue, hit that like button, pound that subscribe button like you mean it so you can get more of this awesome content. And until next time, friends, we'll talk then. Bye.